In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So here is Pastor Scott.
Thank you, Pastor Steve. You know, when he joined us here, I thought, what an asset to our family. So thank you so much for him and Susan. Hi, Susan. Thank you so much for joining us. Having you guys come over here with your church family was such a blessing, and we love having you here. Wow. How many of you had a rough week? Yeah, with all kinds of trials and, man, so, but the thing is, you had a rough week, but you're here. You're here. You come here, and we kind of pray for you, patch you up, and like a net, you come here, we mend you all up on Sunday, and we throw you back out in the world to go catch some more fish. And that's what we do on Sunday. We kind of, you know, with the fellowship, the encouragement, we mend you all up, get you all good, whew, throw you back out to that vicious world out there. And then you get bussed up again and you come back Sunday, we do the same thing. And we keep doing that and we keep catching more and more people. You know, when we were Friday night, we was at home and we got that Amber Alert. How many of your phones went bam? How many of your phones went off in the middle of the supermarket or in the middle of dinner? Yeah, it's like, whoa. And then as soon as I got that alert, oh my gosh, we was like, we started to pray. How many of you started to pray? I think as followers of Christ, that's the first thing we do when we get a serious alert like that. We pray, right? And I think, man, this whole island, all the people who got this alert, I would bet, Christian or not, I bet you they were praying. And I thought like, wow, this is a way that I think God can get our attention to pray more. And I was praying and praying, and then even through Saturday morning, as I took out my tools and I started to cut wood, and I kept praying all morning, is Lord, please find that young girl. And you know, I got an alert from someone on my phone that says, thank you, praise the Lord that they found her. And I was like, oh. And all after that, all morning, I was like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. Because could you imagine if that was one of our kids? Oh, my gosh, we would be hysterical. We'd be like, and I don't know what her parents was going through, but I must be like, when they found her, and I was like, oh, it was such a relief. And I thought, like, wow. Thank you, Lord, for answering the prayer of your people. Amen? Amen. I was like, that's a good message for a prayer time. But today we're going to talk about obedience. How many of you out here are parents? Okay, parents, you know what I'm going to be saying then. How many of you really wish that your children, don't raise your hand, okay? Would be totally obedient to you, just in case your children may be watching, or they may be catching this online later on. And Stephen, especially since your daughter is sitting next to you, don't raise your hand. And when you ask them, you know, hey, it's dinner time, turn off your phone, we're gonna eat. Maybe that's someone for adults, yeah? How many of you go to restaurants and you take picture of your food? That's the thing now, yeah? This is what I'm eating. And how many of you wish your children, you ask them to do your homework? It's done. Wash the dishes. Oh, it's done. Take out the trash. It's done. Wash my car. Oh, no problem. You know, how many of you wish that was their response? And that you don't have to ask them again and again. And again, how many of you parents wish that your children were like this? Now you can raise your hand. Nobody wish your children was like that. Oh, one, two, three. You wish your children would be there. Back here, two hands. Okay, yeah, I think, you know, when I look in the mirror and I tell myself, man, I wish that they were like this. And then I can see, when I ask that question, I can see God. I wish my children would be obedient and I don't have to ask them again and again and again. And then he's probably going, yeah, especially that one guy, Scott. You know, Scott, you know that guy? Yeah. You know, because there are so many times that I am so proud of my children, yet there are times that I wish they would listen more attentively. When in those moments, I think, wow, look in the mirror, brother, because I think God is saying, man, I wish Scott would listen more attentively. And I thought, like, wow, when I was writing this, I'm thinking, like, I think this was for me. And I think God says, I really do wish Scott would listen to me more and do what I say. Because when he doesn't listen to me, he gets himself into trouble, into problems, and he suffers. And when he suffers, it hurts me too. And I can hear God saying, I wish he would just be obedient. You know, when our children ignore us, I think sometimes we do the same thing to God. When our children forget to do their chores, we get upset. And I stop and I think, I wonder if God feels that way about me. He probably would get upset, but you know what? God still loves us, even if we fail and we may not listen to him. And I think that's the difference between being human, because we get mad and we get upset, and sometimes we forget to respond in a loving way. But yeah, so much of this message was for me. So here it is, number one, obedience is more important to God than sacrifice. And I'm going to use the example of King Saul from 1 Samuel 15. And if you know Saul, you know, we're going through our Bible study now, and this is one of the marks. This is like one of the marks in our timeline that this was the first king that the Israelites had. Before this, they had judges, and that they didn't like that. They said, we want a king like all the heathen nations around them. We want a king just like them. So they rejected God as their king, and they wanted a human king in his place. And it's like, oh, that's a bad idea. And even Samuel said, that's a bad idea. It's not good that you do that, because this king that you want is going to take your children, your sons, your daughters, your animals, your land, and all these things. And no, we still want a king. I mean, maybe, I don't know. I cannot call them hardhead, because I'm just as guilty. I am just as guilty. I can talk bad about them, but when it comes to me, it's like, oh, I'm just as bad. So in 1 Samuel 15, Saul is instructed, now go and strike Amalek and utterly destroy all that he has. Do not spare him, but put to death both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. That's kind of harsh, you think, yeah? Especially when it comes to child and infant. It's like the innocent children, but they're instructed to. The Amalekites, they were a really destructive or really wicked people. They attacked other people, carrying off their families, their wealth. So God told King Saul to utterly destroy them and put to death man, women, child, infant, ox, sheep, camel, and donkey. Now, the Amalekites, they were one of the first to attack the Israelites when they entered the Promised Land. And they continued to raid the Israelites' camp at every opportunity. And God knew that the Israelites could never live peacefully in the Promised Land as long as the Amalekites existed. So that's why the instructions for to destroy them. And God also knew that their corrupt, idolatrous, and religious practices threatened Israel's relationship with God. and probably the only way to protect them to living in this correct way of life was to destroy the people of this warlike nations and their possessions and their idols. So we see in 1 Samuel 15, this was a command from God. Not a suggestion, but a command. So in later down the in that chapter, 1 Samuel 15, 13, Samuel came to Saul and said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have carried out the command of the Lord. So Saul said, yeah, I did what he said in 15:3. So Saul tells Samuel the prophet that carried out the command of God. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of sheep in my ears and the lowing of oxen I hear? Right? So Saul says, I did what God told me. But Samuel says, well, how come I hear sheep and cow? This is Saul, their first king who they really wanted. They wanted a human king. Saul said, they, you know, meaning the people, brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. But the rest we have utterly destroyed. How would you like to have a king or even a pastor at the first sign of trouble? Oh, but the people you sent to my church, them the ones. That's the ones. That's why we get problems. Because the people you wouldn't send me. He's like, he blames his people. I would say, well, you wanted one king, you got one. Not only did Saul not obey God, but he lies about it, blames the people. Samuel said, why do I hear these sheep? You know, and in 1 Samuel 15, 22, Samuel says, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed the fat of rams. Was Samuel saying that sacrifices was unimportant? No. He was urging Saul to look at his reasons, the motives for making the sacrifice and the sacrifice itself. And back then, the sacrifice was a ritual tradition between a person and God that demonstrated a relationship between them. Because if you never had a relationship with God, you wouldn't bring a sacrifice to him. But if that person's heart was not truly repentant, or if he did it, if he did it not really loving and honoring God, then the sacrifice was hollow, was empty. You know, when they did these ceremonies, these rituals, they needed to do it with an attitude, humility, an attitude of respect, an attitude of love. You know, we cannot do these things grudgingly or just not wanting to do it. God desires, most of all, our obedience. He wants us to obey. When God asks you to do something, he wants, yes. You know, like, was it Isaiah? Yes, Lord, your servant is here and listening. You know, he wants that. Sometimes when God asks us to do something, we say, oh, wait, let me just pray about it. Well, if God is asking you to do it, then really, do you need to pray about it if it comes from God? Number two, sacrifice. The sacrifice will come out of love and obedience to God. In 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. You know, when you come to know Jesus and you ask him to be your Lord and Savior, but he never promised obeying him would be easy. I think sometimes obeying God might be actually hard, because obeying him takes quite a bit of faith. You know, when God said, Scott, go start a church, are you kidding? Like Gideon, I am the youngest in the family, I'm the shortest in the family, I'm the least educated in the family, and you're asking me? And it's like, you kind of question, like, wow. So sometimes when God asks you to do something, it might be rather scary. You know, if God asked me to go teach Sunday school, wow, that is like, whew. Sometimes they ask me to come here and do chapel with the middle school and high school kids. That is frightening. Really, this place is jam-packed, wall-to-wall with young children, kids. And it's like, what am I going to say that they are going to even pay attention? They're probably talking, story, passing notes, and it's like, it is spooky. Next time I do that, I'll invite you to come stand next to me. You hold my hand so I'm comforted. But yeah, Jesus never promised obeying him would be easy. It takes hard work, self-discipline to serve him. But if we love God and we have that relationship with him, when we do that, it's not a burden. It's a wow, I get to do this. I get to stand up here before you, prepare some spiritual food ahead of time to bring to the table. And I think that's an honor. And I enjoy it. You know, if we're serving the Lord and our service starts to feel heavy and burdensome, you know, sometimes, you know, Sunday morning, you're like, oh, I really would just love to sleep in today. Oh, I cannot because I got to speak. Oh, hello. I told myself the day I get up and the day I tell myself, oh, I got to go to church, it's time for me to turn things over to the next person. And so far in all these years, I just love getting up at 4:30 in the morning and coming to church. It's a joy. It's not a burden. I mean, yeah, I sacrifice some sleep, but it's not like a sacrifice, because, I mean, it's like for my wife to get up at 7 o'clock and go to Disneyland when they don't open at 9. It's not a burden. It's joyful. It's really, it's like me getting up to be at Home Depot at 6 because it's not crowded. Yeah. Coming to church to serve, it's better than that. It's more exciting. In Romans 12, it says, therefore I urge you, brethren, us, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. We are a living sacrifice. We serve God. We work. We serve God by serving others. Back in the Old Testament, when sacrificing an animal according to God's law, the priest would kill the animal, cut it into pieces, place it on the altar. Sacrifice was important, but even in the Old Testament, God made it clear. He wants our obedience above our sacrifice. And I think when we come to know and love God and we obey God, the sacrifice is not like a sacrifice. You know, as parents, you made sacrifices for your children. It wasn't like, oh, Maybe it was, yeah. You know when the kids play soccer and it's raining and you sacrifice your comfort to watch them play in the rain, and it's like, how can they play soccer in the rain? It's not right, grumbling and complaining. You know, when you love someone, making a sacrifice is joyful. Getting up at 4:30 in the morning daily to go to work is awesome. I beat the traffic, really. I beat the traffic, way ahead of the traffic. I get to the office when it's peace and quiet. The phone doesn't ring. I get to, by the time 8 o'clock is done, I studied. And by then, my brain is kind of mushy already because I read and I studied and I'm like, phew, I'm exhausted, but I got so much done. And after that, then I can go run my errands. So we need to obey God first and love Him. And then the sacrifices, they will come later on. And if we do it correctly, it's not going to even feel like a sacrifice. You know, some of us, we sacrifice our tithes and offer our tithes. It's like, it's not a burden. Some of us sacrifice our time. These guys who get up at 5 and they come and they make the fried rice, and people say it's the best fried rice. I agree, because it's made with love. They're not over here chopping the onions and crying and grumbling. Oh, these ungrateful church people, they just eat the fried rice and they leave the container on the ground. No, they make it out of love. And if you do leave it on the ground, don't worry, I'll gladly pick it up afterwards. But they come here early, they sacrifice sleep, and they come here, and they do that. Why? Because they love God and they love you. So number 3, the attitude in which we obey is important. Isaiah 1:19, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. I mean, do you think you could be unwilling yet be obedient? I'm going to obey, but under protest. Yeah? We can always obey with a bad attitude, right? You know, you're mad, so when you're washing the dishes, you hear pots and pans and flying around, and, you know, you're washing the dishes with a bad attitude. You know, you give your tithe with a bad attitude, like, oh, man, I could pay some bills with this tithes. And we all could, but I think when we learn to love God, we will be cheerful. Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. In Philippians 2:14 and 15, I like this. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. All things, not just some things. All, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. We could give all we have to God as a sacrifice. But according to His word, He much rather have our obedience than our sacrifice. But I really believe that when we can love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then it's not our sacrifice is not a have to, but a get to. It'll come automatic. It will not even feel like a sacrifice. It'll feel like a blessing. I get to serve. I get to do something. Here's the thing. What is God asking of you today, this year? What is He asking of you? You guys thought of something. I see it in your eyes. This is what God... Are you willing to be obedient? Ask yourself Does God feel like how I feel when my children are not obedient to me? Does God feel that same way about me when my children don't listen? What areas in your life, my life, do we need to be more obedient to God? What areas? Is it reading the Bible? Do I need to open His Word more frequently to hear what He is trying to ask me? Do I need to go to Bible study so that I can learn more? Do I need to attend church on a regular basis so I can receive the encouragement from the others? Do I need to tithe? Do I need to serve? You know, if God tells you to encourage somebody, do you go and encourage him? Even if it means going out of your way. If God tells you to encourage somebody, do you? If God tells you, hey, go tell your neighbor what I have done for you, are you obedient or do you put it off? And then you read their name in the obituary. It's like, oh, I should have gone. Well, it's too late now. You don't want that feeling. Whatever God is asking you to do, whether now, this year, God truly desires your obedience. He really wants you to obey what He's asking of you. And this is the thing, okay? God loves you so much, He's not going to force you to obey Him. He just wants you to willingly, from your heart, to obey Him. He might put you in some tough circumstances to help you realize that, man, I really, really, really need God. And He allows things to happen because those things work. How many of you came to church because you were in a stressful situation and church was your last resort to find God and the answers? Yeah? That was me. The rest of you were just smart. You guys came to church before the trials. Good for you. But what is God asking you? Something to think about. Think about this throughout the week. And man, I just ask that you would say, yes, Lord, I will listen. I better yet, I want to listen. Because I know there's blessings and benefits to listening to the one who created me. Amen? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And I'm going to ask you, the rest of you, to pray with me. Maybe God is asking you today to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Today is the day. Maybe He is saying, I want to come into your life. I want you to ask me to be your Lord and Savior. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins. And I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? God bless you over there. God bless you back there. Anybody else? Lord, you have seen the hands. They said yes to you. They were obedient this morning to your voice. And I pray that you would bless them, that you would reveal yourself to them, that you would show them your love, show them how They can walk with you. They can love you. They can understand you. Lord, I pray for all those who said yes. And for those of us here, Lord, I pray that we would hear your voice and we would obey your voice joyfully with a good attitude. We thank you so much. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Thank you, give the Lord praise. Thank you, Jesus. Those of you who said yes, okay, on the greeting table, there's a little booklet. It says yes. Grab one of those. If you need help with anything else, you want a Bible, you want to know how to read the Bible, let us know. We would really love to help you understand what decision that you just made and how to go with it and to understand what God is saying. Amen?
Amen.
Ooh, would you stand as we sing? Take us out, worship team.
As for me and my